Amen. It's good to see you tonight. I invite you to open your Bibles to two places with me. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read two passages from two different scriptures tonight just to get us started there. Written from the same author, about the same thing, and so I'll use both of them as a text. Ephesians chapter 5, cutting in on an idea, on a thought in verse 19, Paul writes, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 18, Paul writes, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're coming upon a time of the year known as the Thanksgiving season, something that we enjoy and participate in with great gusto. And as I studied for tonight's service, the question I asked the Lord is, Lord, what do you want to feed your children tonight? And I sensed a direction to go to give you a Thanksgiving message a couple of weeks early. In fact, I'm probably going to minister next week on Thanksgiving as well. And then the day before Thanksgiving, Brother David Stillwagon will be ministering that night. And he may minister on Thanksgiving too. Who knows? But this is just the direction I feel to go, talking about the biblical perspective of Thanksgiving. And what we read here is that thanksgiving or gratitude should be an ongoing attitude, not just once a year. We have a Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving football season, a Thanksgiving meal. But obviously, you know, and I know that Thanksgiving is an attitude of heart that does carry through, or should, in the life of the believer, carry through throughout our lives. And it's important that we have a proper perspective. Perspective, last week we talked about changing our perspective. And we shared some things that were interesting. In fact, I had you move around and sit in different places. And I see that some of you are continuing that fine tradition here tonight. Others enjoy their perspective. And that's fine. But sometimes we need a proper perspective. Because perspective, when you see things in perspective, it helps you understand. For example, a young lady wrote home to her mom and dad from college. You know, dear mom and dad, I'm really doing okay. The leg was only broken in two places, and my arm was only broken in one. When I jumped out of the second-story dorm when it caught on fire, good thing was the young man down the street at the filling station saw the dorm on fire, and he called the firemen, and they came out and they responded, and they were able to save most of the building. Of course, I didn't have a place to live, so I stayed with Paul. That's the young man at the fire station's name, and he did. He tended to me in the hospital, and when I got out before the dorm was rebuilt, I stayed in his house, and we're going to be getting married real soon. Kind of have to, you know, but I think you'll like him. He's a real good guy, and as soon as he gets his divorce, we'll have it final. We'll be able to get married. And love your daughter, Cindy. P.S. All of the above is not true. None of it's true. I did get a C in sociology and I flunked out of chemistry, but I wanted you to take it in perspective. Sometimes we need perspective. And so my goal tonight is to talk. Last week we talked about changing our perspective on a lot of broad issues. Tonight I want to talk specifically about Thanksgiving, about an attitude of heart. Paul tells us, we should always be giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And then Thessalonians, we read, in everything, give thanks. So I've got three things I want to share with you. Four areas I want to share with you. The first one has to do with enemies of gratitude or enemies of thanksgiving. And the last are some biblical perspectives, the last three. To be thankful in all circumstances, to give God thanks in everything, we have to have a changed perspective. We have to be able to look at things differently. But there are at least three, and you could probably think of more, but there are at least three different attitudes that will steal away our gratitude. When I was writing, I didn't realize that rhymed. I could do a rap song out of that. Attitude steals away our... Okay, never mind. Gratitude. But saying, just don't hurt yourself. All right, the first enemy of gratitude is pride. The first enemy of thankfulness or gratitude is pride. It's an attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. What I got by my hard work and the sweat of my brow. I worked for everything I have. And that's an attitude that's going to destroy thankfulness, because that attitude says, I don't have anybody to thank but me. And that was an attitude the Lord talked against when he said, the man said, you know, look at what great wealth I have amassed to myself. And I'm going to build big barns for me, and I'm going to be able to do all this because I thank me for all that I've done for myself. And so if we're going to have an attitude, we've got to make sure that pride doesn't enter the picture. We've got to remember where those blessings come from. What did God say to that man? You fool. Don't you know tonight you're going to die? And everything you've gathered up is going to be somebody else's. Paul's attitude was from him, through him, to him, all things. So pride is an enemy of gratitude. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is having a critical spirit. Constant complaining. And we have to watch this. It can be easy to slide over into this area of being grateful. Some people can always find something to complain about. Have you ever met anybody like that? You ever met people that, I mean, doesn't matter how good things are, they're going to find something to be grateful for. I heard a story one time of a lady in this pastor's church that she was like this. I mean, she could always find something to gripe about. One year, the pastor thought he had her. He went to visit her, visit with her. Miss Davis, I know that you are so grateful to the Lord for this wonderful crop that you've got. I mean, your potato crop, you got the best potato crop of everybody in the whole county. You got the best potato harvest of everybody. And she says, yeah. Well, am I going to feed my hogs? She always gave bad potatoes to the hogs. Now she had so many good potatoes, she didn't have any bad potatoes to give to the hogs. Okay. She had to find something to gripe about. Well, this is something that we just need to watch over. Make sure that we don't slip into this or allow this enemy of gratitude to work in our lives. The third one is a third attitude that will keep us from being grateful is carelessness. And by carelessness, I mean just a care, not really caring about or appreciating the blessings that God has brought. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would sit up all night long to watch them and to enjoy them and to appreciate them. But because they're there every night, we never even see them. We don't even notice them. And a good example of that in the Old Testament, and one that the Scriptures bring about, point us to the Israelites. When they were coming out of Egypt and God was bringing them into or towards the Promised Land. And then they decided that they weren't strong enough because of their doubt, because of their unbelief. They ended up wandering for 40 years. And for 40 years, God gave them a miracle every day. Actually, 6 days a week, God gave them a miracle. 6 days a week, He fed them manna, heaven's bread. 6 days a week, they woke up, they didn't plant, they didn't weed, they didn't fertilize, they didn't harvest, they didn't thresh, they didn't grind. All they did was walk outside with a cup and scoop it up. Every day. And on the day before the Sabbath, they got twice as much as they needed because they didn't have to go out and scoop it up on the Sabbath day. So for all these years, God gave them a miracle every day. And what was their attitude about it? I'm getting sick and tired of manna. I mean, I've made manna waffles, manna pancakes, manna burgers, manna bread. What was that song the guy used to sing? You know, what was it? Because unappreciating this blessing that God actually had given into their lives. We can look around us. I'm sure there's times that we could find in our lives that we have been unthankful for miracles, but because it's been so common. So three enemies that we've got to watch out for: this area of pride, this area of critical spirit or constant complaining, and this area of carelessness. If any nation should be thankful, it's America. We throw away more food. we throw away more blessings. If any nation should be thankful, it's America. And if any group in America should be thankful, it's Christians who have the incredible freedom and liberty to be able to worship God. So, let's take a look at some things, some perspectives about Thanksgiving that will help us learn a proper perspective on Thanksgiving. The first, I'm going to show you three things about our Thanksgiving. The first one is that our Thanksgiving should be expressed. We sing a song from Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms 104 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving." We sing a song, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will express my thanksgiving," right? Psalms 107, David writes, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." The Scripture is full of commands, admonitions, and direction that we should actually express our thankfulness to the Lord. And so this is the first point. The proper perspective, the first perspective on Thanksgiving is that it needs to be expressed. Thanksgiving unexpressed is not Thanksgiving at all. Gratitude that is not given to someone is not being grateful at all. I don't care how much on the inside you're saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." If your mouth never opens, the person who gave you the gift doesn't know that you're grateful. And so gratitude, thanksgiving, must be expressed. Go to Luke chapter 17 with me, if you don't mind. And we'll see a story of some fellows who received a blessing. Luke chapter 17, there's a nice long parable there, a nice long story there. Some teaching the Lord has given about faith. And it says in verse number 11, "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" This guy expressed his thanksgiving. The other 9 may have been thankful and probably were thankful. But the one who got the greater blessing is the one who expressed his thanksgiving. It's interesting to me that this guy was a Samaritan, and Jesus points that out. But this took place around the border of Samaria. All 10 of these guys, all 10 lepers, were basically living as outcasts and exiles. The other 9, it's assumed that they were not Samaritans. It's assumed that they were Jews. But they were living in Samaria, because they were cast away from their homes. They were expunged. They were exiled. They were sent off. And so when Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest," they hot diggity dog, lickety split, went to the priest and got so excited they probably went home to mama and wife and husband these are all men. So wife and mama and children and family. But only one expressed, literally said, "Thank you." Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus said what he said to him? "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Weren't they all healed? Weren't all 10 of them healed? Then why did Jesus say to this one, "Your faith has made you whole," or "Your faith has made you well"? Aren't they all well? The only thing I can figure is that this man got a different kind of healing. I'm presuming on Scripture to say this. But I believe this man was made whole. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I believe he got a greater blessing than the other 9. Because he was willing to express his thanksgiving. Shannon was telling me that this, I think it was this morning, she saw a kid from Alexandria being interviewed on the Today Show. Was it this morning or whenever it was recently? And I didn't get to see it, but she was telling me that what was interesting, this young fellow, 9 years old or whatever, one of the things that was interesting about the interview is he kept saying, "Yes, sir," "No, sir." And Matt Lauer, who's from New York, who's used to, "Yeah, huh," you know, was kind of taken aback by the politeness of this young man. To us, it's not strange. It's not uncommon that people would be appropriately polite and would express the courtesies. This guy took Jesus off guard because the others didn't have a gratitude, a grateful heart, an attitude of thanksgiving. And so we have an expression here. I believe that this is a hint to us that there is healing that takes place. There is wholeness that takes place when we express thanksgiving to God. When we begin to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for this blessing. And thank you for this wonderful miracle. And thank you for this small miracle. And thank you for this provision. And thank you for this delight. And thank you for this pleasure. And thank you for... As we begin to express this thanksgiving to God, I believe that there is a wholeness that comes into our life. Jesus said to the one, your faith has made you well. And his faith was expressed in his thanksgiving. A thankful heart. Did you know that a thankful heart makes you more likable? People like people who say thank you. People don't like folks. Well, I mean, I won't say they don't like them, but... My mom tried to drill into my head the idea of writing thank you notes. Sometimes I did good. Most of the time I didn't do so good. But every now and then, or from time to time, I should say, I'll get a thank you card from somebody for something small. Maybe a birthday card or maybe something that I did for them. Man, that makes me like that person even more. I'm not saying I don't like the person that doesn't give me thank you notes, because sometimes I don't give thank you notes and I don't want y'all to like me. But thankfulness makes us more likable. Look at Romans chapter 1. If you know Romans chapter 1, you know that's an odd place for me to go. Or you may think it is. But I'm going to show you that ungratefulness drives people apart. Thankfulness draws people together. Ungratefulness drives people apart. In Romans chapter number 1, verse 21, Paul writes, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Do you see that connected to great ungratefulness and a lack of giving thanks is a hardened heart? It's a result. When a person is not grateful and they're not thankful and they don't express thanks like they should, there can be a gradual hardening of their heart and a darkening of their life. These people would not give thanks to God, and as a result, their foolish heart was darkened and hardened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because they wouldn't do something so simple as expressing thanks to God. Thank you, Creator. Thank you for making all of this. They would not acknowledge God. So how can we express our thanksgiving to God? Well, there's lots of ways. We say thank you to God when we spend time with Him, when we read His Word, when we sing here, when we give our time, our talents, our treasures, our gifts to the Lord, when we minister the hearts of others, when we reach out. Lots of ways. But we need to make sure that we're expressing thanks with our life. This is the first perspective on thanksgiving, is that we need to express it. We can't just say, well, I've got a thankful heart. I'm thankful on the inside. It needs to be expressed. We don't need to be like the nine. They were probably thankful. We need to be like the one who did express his thanks. The second area, the second perspective on thanksgiving is that it should be broad. It should be expansive. And what I mean by this is that our thanksgiving should cover at least two different things. One, I believe we should be thankful for the blessings of life, but I also think we should be thankful for the problems of life. That's why I'm saying broad or expansive. Let me talk about the blessings for a second. Last week when I talked about perspective, Laurie mentioned to me that she had sent me an email, or thought about sending me an email, I'm not sure which. And I had gotten it before from others, and today I couldn't find the email, so I went to a website and found it. Listen to this. Things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the mess to clean up after a party, because it means I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow who watches me work, because it means I'm out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the space I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I am warm. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means I'm alive. You probably heard something similar. On the radio, they talk about that from time to time. There are so many blessings in our life, blessings that sometimes we don't think are blessings, but they really are. And some of these things we need to be thankful for, these blessings that God brought into our life. Sometimes our prayers are so broad, so non-specific that we just say, Lord, thank you for all your blessings. And maybe every now and then we ought to say, okay, now Lord, I'm going to just take a minute here. I'm going to name some of those blessings. And if we started actually thanking Him and writing down or listing out specifically those blessings, our food would get cold. The ice would melt in our iced tea if we were doing this before a meal. And people around us would fall asleep. But we would end up with such a full heart that we might not even need to eat that food. Wait a minute now. There's a neat old song. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. We need to be broad in thanking God for those blessings. There are so many blessings. A lot of them we overlook. Especially we overlook many blessings when we begin to focus on what we don't have. Well, I don't have a car with a CD player. You know what? Almost everything we don't have, we could turn into a thankfulness for a blessing we do have. I've got a car. Well, I don't have a picture in my TV. Well, I got a TV. Well, I don't have supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I just said that because I could. I mean, there are so many things that we could talk about what I don't have. I don't have this and I don't have that. I don't have a king-size bed. I don't have a water bed. I got a bed. Well, I don't have as we begin to thank God for those blessings, I believe that if we'll not focus on what we don't have, but we focus on what God has done, we'll be surprised. The Israelites messed up when they became ungrateful and they focused on what they didn't have. And when they did that, they failed to see what they did have. They mean, well, we don't have the onions like we used to have back by the... You know what? Yeah, you don't have onions right now, but you also don't have to make 600 bricks a day per person, cut your own straw. You know, you're not slaves anymore. Somehow that tiny little thing escapes your memory. You forget. Yeah, you used to have onions. You did have stinky breath. Yes, you had onions. But look at what you've got now. You've got freedom. You've got manna. You've got water from a rock that follows you everywhere you go. You've got a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. You've got God's presence in the camp. You've got God's prophet before you. And you don't have onions? Shoes that don't wear out. Clothes that don't wear out. And you don't have onions? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. You don't have onions? So be thankful. Y'all are enjoying me, aren't you? You're thankful for me, aren't you? Because you could have something else, let me tell you. You know what? We spend a lot of time adding things to our prayer list. We need to spend some time adding things to our praise list. Thank you. Now, I said to you these blessings, and it's easy to be thankful for blessings, but what about problems? This is a tough one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we read as the opening scripture tonight says, in just about everything, when it's convenient, comfortable, and fits in your definition of blessing, give thanks. I think that's what it says. Let me get over there and take a look at it. 1 Thessalonians, that's that's on page 1752. Oh, that's not what it says. And there's no asterisk there. You know how you read? I got a pet peeve. Totally has nothing to do with the sermon. But you ever read, you know, like a little, you get a box or you an advertisement or something, they have a little asterisk, you know, because it means there's a disclaimer. There's a description of something. And you look all over that box and you can't find where the explanation is. That frustrates me. It has nothing to do with the message tonight. Other than the fact that there's no disclaimer. There's no asterisk next to the word everything. You know, because on these advertisements and all these commercials, on these things, they always have to say, you know, like, I saw one today. I was at Ace Hardware Store and they had this box that had, you know, these incredible, wonderful holiday lights that you can put in your house in there. It's 58.5 feet long and there was an asterisk next to it. I'm thinking, okay, so what does that mean? 55.8 feet long when fully extended but not extendable because of the... I mean, I looked all over that box. There's no explanation of what that asterisk meant. So is it really 58.5 feet long or not? There's an asterisk there. There's a disclaimer. I just don't know what the disclaimer is. Well, folks, there's no disclaimer next to this word everything. I kind of wish there were sometimes. In everything except... In everything with regarding... No. Yeah, when you feel like it, when you're spiritual enough, in everything on Sundays, no, in everything give thanks. We read Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things. Now you may think that Paul made a mistake. You may think that Paul didn't mean that. You may think that Paul actually, it was easy for him to say. But it wasn't. Think about Paul's life. The shipwrecks, the betrayals, the problem that he had that he called a thorn in the flesh that he begged God with tears to relieve him. He'd been run out of town. He'd been beaten. He'd been whooped. He'd been stoned with real rocks. Not stoned the way some folks get nowadays. The Bible says he had been naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, and yet, in everything, give thanks. Always giving thanks for everything, he said. Let me get you to read three scriptures with me. Romans chapter 8 shows you a little bit of Paul's perspective on things. The reason he was able to give thanks for this is because he had a proper perspective. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Shipwreck? Nah. Ain't no biggie. A night and a day in the deep? Floating out in the ocean? That's no hill for a stepper. Stoned 5 times, betrayed by friends, compared to what's ahead, it's child's play. Isn't that what he's saying? How about for 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Now these are perspectives that Paul has and he shares with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. First of all, he said, "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed." 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10. "Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Man, what a perspective! Persecutions, weaknesses, distresses. He names all these things and says, as long as it's for Christ's sake. In Philippians 1, don't go there, but Philippians 1, he wrote the church, he says, "I want to let you know what's happening to me. And I know you've heard about my problems. And I want you to understand that it's all worked out for the furthering of the gospel. I want you to understand that all my circumstances, all those other things you've heard people say about the shipwrecks and the stoning and the beatings and the scourging and the all those difficulties have all contributed to the furtherance of the gospel. Perspective. Perspective. When we have a proper perspective like Paul did, then we can get through whatever the circumstance is. They're not here tonight, so I can talk about them. Robert Dobson and Julie Chappelle. I can't say how many times my heart has been pricked when they share about they'd rather have the life they have in the wheelchair, knowing Jesus, than a life outside of the wheelchair, not knowing Jesus. Now, that almost seems flippant if you don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but if you think about what they're saying, I mean, they're given, they'd be willing, they have. They're thankful in that condition. And Jim's here, and I'll talk about Jim, because even if he's not here, Jim had a heart attack that was a part of him coming to know Jesus. I don't know many people thankful for a heart attack, but I don't know if he'd trade that for living the way he, the distance, you know, the devotion you wrote, either I think last night, you talked about that distance, being lost in a crowd, you know, when he's a little child and going to the fair and the sights and the sounds and all of a sudden being lost from a dad. And that feeling that we have in life sometimes of being lost, separated. Where's my daddy? And the world is going on crazy and I'm scared and alone. And then daddy says, here I am. Folks, what would you trade? What would you want to gain to go back to being that lost child in a flashing world? So many things in our life that seem to be difficulties and distresses and hurts have been actually part of God's shaping and molding. Paul said, when I'm weak, he's strong. I don't understand it. But I know that when I'm struggling, that's when I'm oftentimes making the greatest growth. You know, when you work out with weights, you don't get stronger by lifting things that are easy for you to lift. I've got a dumbbell at my house. I'm not talking about the one I look at in the mirror. I'm talking about there's another dumbbell in my house that's got 2 5-pound weights on it. And I'm going to tell you what, I can pick that thing up with my pinky. I'd be pretty foolish to go out there and pick up that 12-pound set because it's 5 pounds on each side and then the bar is 2 pounds. To pick that up and, whoosh, 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 boy, I had a good workout today. Man, whoosh, oh, I got to take me a shower. It's in those struggles. It's in the times when the muscles rip and that burning sensation goes through your arms and your chest and you're doing everything you can to get that dumbbell up. Pretty good impression, wasn't it? They liked it. That's when that muscle is torn. And that's when that tearing takes place. And then the body begins to rebuild itself stronger and better. It's in that pressure. It's in that struggle. It's in that press. Well, Paul said, you know what? Everything that's happened, all that horrible stuff, all that pressing, all that, those shipwrecks, those beatings, that nakedness. I don't know about y'all, but I dream about that, and it's scary. I don't like it. I don't like dreaming about being naked in front of a bunch of people. Paul was. Okay, I know. I've shared a little bit too much. Bud says underneath his clothes, he's naked. He did. He said that. I don't like that idea. Okay, hold on. Beep, 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 beep. And back this thing up a little bit. Don's never coming back to another Wednesday night. Aren't you glad we're just good friends and family? So how much of this stuff, I didn't hear it, I don't want to. I probably don't need to. Oh my goodness. all the internet people. Good news is I get to edit it. Okay. You know what, though? God helps us through these times. And these times, these difficult times, a lot of times we look back and we wouldn't trade them for the world. Let me give you a perfect example. I'm going to use my daughter, Joy. She's looking at me like, what you going to talk about? She's at their school, they had a Bible teacher who was hard on them. He was tough. He was difficult. He gave them hard homework. Folks, she'd bring her homework hard, and I'd be like, she'd bring her homework home, and I'd be like, gosh, I wish he wouldn't give these kids such hard homework, because I got to help her with it, and it's tough. I mean, answering some of these questions were difficult. This week, found out he's moving on to another experience in life and leaving the school, and you know what all the kids are like? They're like, we're going to miss Mr. Michael, aren't we? We're going to miss him. I'm like, wait a minute, that's the same guy you were going, and now you're going to miss him? How many of you can think back to high school and college and some of the teachers that you, that made an impact in your life were the teachers who were hard on you, who were rough, who pushed you, who said you can do better than that? And you're like, no, this is as good as I can do. And they're like, no, I know you can do better. That's what some of the stuff in our life is like. And so this issue of being thankful is we need to be thankful, not just for the blessings, but in everything. And you never know when your thankfulness is going to touch somebody else. You know what? There's a jailer in his family who wouldn't know Jesus if Paul and Silas hadn't known how to sing in jail. There's a jailer and his whole family who would die and go to hell if Paul and Silas hadn't had thankful hearts and grateful hearts and counted it an honor to be beaten and tortured for the cause of Christ, and who sat in a jail with their backs torn open singing and praising the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning... Earthquake! Oh my God, the prisoners are escaping! The jailer comes in, I'm going to do harikari. And Paul says, no, hold on, don't do that. It's okay, we're here. Nobody's run away. Nobody's escaped. How can you have that kind of an attitude, Paul? How can you be calm? Let me talk to you about this Jesus who made a change in my heart and my life. A man and his whole house saved because a couple of people knew how to give thanks and everything. So, perspectives. We're talking about perspectives. Our thanksgiving needs to be expressed. Our thanksgiving needs to be broad. And let's wrap this one up. Let me tell you something. God expects you to be thankful. God expects it out of you. This is a perspective we need to understand. God expects it of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read this getting started, but I'm going to read it one more time. Paul closes the book of the letter to the Thessalonians with some instructions that are brief and to the point. Verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Now look at this next phrase. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you, when I was younger, I used to ask this question. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will. Does this mean that what's happening to me is God's will for me? I don't think that's what it means at all. It's pretty plain what it says. It's God's will for you in Christ Jesus that you give thanks in everything. That's God's will for you. It's God's will that you rejoice, that you pray, and that you give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will is that we be a thankful people. Why? Because He knows if we will be thankful, our lives will be changed. He knows if we'll be thankful, that He knows that thanksgiving is the mark of a growing Christian. Look, if you've had babies, and most of you have, you understand that babies are not thankful. They don't say thank you for feeding them at 2 o'clock in the morning. They just go to sleep on you. They don't say thank you for getting up and walking the floors when they got the crew. They just yell at you when you slow down. They don't say thank you. And we don't expect them to. Because they're babies. It's not until they get older they start writing you the mushy Mother's Day cards. in those letters. It's not until they mature a little bit that they begin to say, thank you. In fact, we teach it to them. And sometimes it still doesn't take. But at some point in their life, after they've grown and after they've matured, they look back and they say, you know what? I had a good mom. I am so glad. Now, some of you moms are still waiting for your kids to say that. Mama, I had a good mom. In case you were waiting, I want you to know I'm thankful for you. But what is it? God knows that Thanksgiving is the mark of maturity. It's the mark of maturity. And God's will for you is to be mature. Not like children, shifted by the waves, thrown here and there. He knows that when you utter a thank you of your own free will without somebody saying, what do you say? What do you say? You know what I'm saying? Somebody gives your kid something, what do you say? Thank you. Yeah, right. Like that means anything. Well, it does because you're teaching. But what happens that first moment when somebody does something and your child goes, thank you, and you go, oh, I didn't tell them to say that. Wow. They're growing up. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to grow up. I'm going to close outside of where we started in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not the passage that we started with, but I want to just wrap that up with these thoughts. God expects us to be thankful. It's His will for us. It's His desire for us. It's His expectation of us. But let me tell you, part of the reason also is that a thankful life is a life of resiliency. Look at what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Drop down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day for momentary light affliction. Now what's this momentary light affliction? It's the stuff he talks about in verse 8. Afflicted, crushed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. He calls that momentary light affliction. What is it doing? It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, God knows that when we have a thankful heart, we look at things from a different perspective. And we look at crushing blows and we say, thank you, Lord, that I was crushed, but I'm not out. I was struck down, but I'm not forsaken. I've been hit, but I haven't been killed. I've been persecuted, but I haven't been left alone. You see, a thankful heart understands God's perspective. I read one time, and I think it was in C.T. Studd or China Inland Mission. Was it C.T. Studd that started, or Hudson Taylor? Hudson Taylor, I think, started China Inland Mission. It wasn't him, but it was one of the missionaries that was part of his group. Had received some news from home, and it was very distressing. It was very disturbing. And so he tried to pray. And the darkness didn't lift, and the depression didn't break. He tried to read his Bible. The darkness didn't lift, and the depression didn't break. And he got to the point where he was ready to quit. I don't know if he quit or if he just went on a furlough or what, but he went to a mission house in a compound where the missionaries had a place. And he went to this place and he was devastated. And there was a little sign on the wall that said, try Thanksgiving. And so he just began to say thank you. And he began to thank the Lord. He began to write down and make a list. Maybe it was mental or written. I'm not sure which. But he began to write down or enumerate the things that he could be thankful for. And the story, as I recall it, was that one incident changed that man's life. It reinvigorated him. It reinfused him with strength, with energy. The darkness lifted. The depression broke because of Thanksgiving. And so, perspectives on Thanksgiving. You know, we have a day coming up pretty soon that we are excited about. And we will get to share a great meal and we'll get to enjoy some wonderful fellowship. We'll do the same thing here. But it needs to be something that permeates our lives. Won't you pray with me? Father, thank you so much. The psalmist was indeed right when he said, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord." Yes, it's a good thing. Help us to change our perspective, to get a proper perspective of thanksgiving, to understand, Father, how to express our thanksgiving in a broad way, both for the blessings and for the problems, so that we might live up to your expectation of maturity. Mature us, Lord, and help us not to fall prey to the enemies of a grateful heart. Help us not to fall prey to pride or a critical spirit or being careless about the blessings you've given us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.